This is CliffCentral.com.
Warning. If you like surprises, or even if you do not like surprises, you'll want to listen to the show in a quiet place to ensure you understand what happens in the brain when you become surprised, caught off guard. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show exploring the relationship between brain and brand power. Today, I'll share a story involving surprise that occurred at The Daily Show while in New York, and a little science to help you understand the rush of chemicals involved when you get surprised. While researching what happens in the brain when you become surprised, I came across two researchers whose entire careers are based on studying this thing called surprise. That's right, there are scientists out there who spend all day, every day studying this. Two of them are Tanya Luna and Leanne Reniger, co-authors of the book, Surprise! Embrace the Unpredictable and Engineer the Unexpected. And that's my goal for today, to help you engineer the unexpected with your brands. That's why I'm interested in this topic, because I've seen it work. Beyond the fact that I love surprises, I have witnessed how brands can incorporate this learning into their strategy to win over consumers. And also, I want to tell you my Trevor Noah story. So buckle up. Luna and Reniger make it clear early in their work that surprise not only tickles the spine, but for the majority of the population, it brings real pleasure. Many studies show the reward center of the brain lights up and fires more intensely when given juice randomly versus when given juice in predictable intervals. If you know when it's coming, the brain triggers and squirts less excitement fluid across the body. I have a friend whose husband sends her flowers on the first of every month at the exact same time. Her office door buzzes at 9 a.m. and she doesn't even have to ask who it is. Come in. She knows it's the delivery man bringing her flowers. I asked, don't you get bored? Wouldn't you prefer them to come unexpected, like a different day or at least a different time? She didn't answer. I didn't press the matter because I didn't want to cause problems in her home. And I hope she's not even listening to this. However, for many, we prefer an element of surprise. When you buy a new car, you expect the petrol gas tank to be full. But if you get home and open the trunk or boot, and there are beautiful flowers saying thank you, the chemicals such as dopamine, one of the excitement chemicals that is realized due to the surprise, leaves a mark that plants a memory which will last a lifetime. Luna argues that the most healthy relationships have a bit of both. Many who say they hate surprises are often those who have experienced heartache and pain due to excessive uncertainty, unhealthy amounts of loss. But even for those who need certainty to feel safe, using surprise in some of your brand strategy can pay major dividends. The key is to assess your consumer base. And if they are the types who love a thrill, then offer more surprises. But even so, don't make them predictable surprises. A little mystery and healthy dose will keep you and your relationships and consumers on their toes. Observe and assess your stakeholders, consumers, and just know that the more values-based your research is, the further the surprise will go and land deeper. Now, I know you're waiting for my Trevor Noah story, so here you go. While in New York earlier this month, I booked tickets to see Trevor Noah's taping of The Daily Show. Before I get into the story, though, let me help you a bit. If you're in New York, I suggest you go to The Daily Show, but make sure you book the guaranteed tickets and that you get there 1 hour before. Here's why. There are two types of tickets. Both of them are free. They're called guaranteed and general. The general is first come, first serve. I booked the first come, first serve tickets on the first day I tried to get in, stood in the cold for 90 minutes and missed getting in by the skin of my teeth. 50 others like myself missed getting in as well. Fortunately, I got a chance to go on the second day I tried, and I received guaranteed tickets. So I was excited. I saw a few people who also missed out on the previous day. We were so pumped to see each other. I guess the pain of missing out on the first day bonded us somehow. So I'm standing in line with my guaranteed ticket, feeling all confident. After about 15 minutes, I see a lovely Indian lady standing in front of me alone. I also went alone. See, none of my friends in New York wanted to go. And I understand I would not ordinarily have been interested in either in this type of touristy stuff, but it's Trevor Noah. You know, he's an iconic South African story, so, you know, I wanted to see it. Also, because, you know, I have my own sort of TV show, and I wanted to see at the highest level how things went down. Anyway, I greet this lovely Indian lady. She seemed very scared, like, don't talk to me. Eventually, as I continue to press, I hear her accent. Turns out she's from Durban, visiting on a holiday. We begin to chat, and I tell her I live in Joburg. She loosens up a bit, but still remains quite reserved. Then I find out she works in risks and banking. So I understood it a bit more, so I kind of backed down a little bit. See, the Daily Show is a well-oiled machine. Show directors come outside to brief everyone in the queue. They give us all the protocols. No cell phones on the show, no big bags getting into the show, you know, no standing unless prompted, blah, blah, blah. And they give us all a ticket number about for where we were going to be sitting. My new Indian friend, let's call her Lydia, asked me, have I ever met Trevor Noah? I say, well, once, but he wouldn't remember me. There were just too many people around. We get inside. Lydia is on my left. She's stuck with me now. There's a Jewish woman on my right from Washington, D.C. Let's call the Jewish lady Rena. Rena is visiting South Africa for the first time this coming July. Rena is actually traveling with her brother-in-law because her sister is too afraid of Africa. Her sister has heard stuff on the news, but Rena is more adventurous, so she's coming. We sit and chat for what seems like an eternity because the floor managers and entire Daily Show team is setting everything up, making sure the crowd is settled in. I assure Rena, she's going to love SA, and she'll be fine. Her sister is going to regret not going when she sees the photos. Rena also asked me, have you met Trevor? I explained once, but of course, you know, he won't remember. But then I remembered I actually have a photo. So I show Lydia and Rena the photo. And I stress, guys, there were 100 people in the queue taking the same photo. There's no way he's going to remember me. Anyway, Lydia is excited about being from South Africa and feels a sense of pride, thinking she's the only homegrown South African there. She's beaming. As we're all sitting there relaxed, all of a sudden, music begins to blast from the speakers. The floor manager comes out. Energy fills the room, and we are briefed more thoroughly now. After which, an hilarious comedian comes on to warm us up. And let me reiterate, this comedian was brilliant. This was the first big surprise of the night. I'm upset I didn't get his name. Halfway through his bit, he goes through the audience, and as it turns out, Lydia is far from the only South African in the audience. There were Cape Tonians, Joburgs, and people from all over the world. The audience was about 200 people. There were Danish people, Italians, and so many more. And of course, people from all across America. We know this because the comedian asked people, where are you from? Which country are you from? And people would literally scream out, super proud of where they come from. And Mr. Brilliant would find a way to make fun of them, as only an intelligent comedian could. He gets a standing ovation, and then the floor manager introduces a camera director who explains how guests, commercial breaks work, and other intervals will work throughout the entire show. And he also explains, if we're caught taking photos, these Secret Service security guards looking people will take out a stun gun and paralyze us, and we'll be carried out on a stretcher. He didn't actually say that, but it's something kind of close. So we were terrified. Everybody put the phones up. Meanwhile, Lydia seemed completely deflated. She really wanted to be the only South African there. And eventually she gets over it, but not really. The countdown begins. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Trevor comes out. Second big surprise. And we all stand up. We completely lose our marbles. We freak out as though it was Michael Jackson. The show is now officially underway. He goes into his news story, basically making fun of Trump and all the Trumpisms, and then a skit, and then he interviews the guests, which are singers, Chloe and Hallie, who I love. And through it all, because it was a taping, he hadn't had a chance to greet us yet. After he interviewed Chloe and Hallie, the crew set up, because we were lucky enough to get a chance to see them perform. Trevor now comes out behind the desk and greets the audience officially. He asked, how many of you from out the country? I guess that's their thing, you know, because they know it's New York and people are going to come from all over the world. And, you know, this is where you get a chance to see how talented Trevor really is. Some guy from Malta explains he's there in New York on holiday, and Trevor asks why he would come to the cold in New York because it was still a little chilly. He says that, you know, even though it's summer back home, whatever, he's going back and forth with Trevor. He's caught off guard. Hilarity consumes the room. Several other funny exchanges across the floor happen, and you just watch Trevor work his magic. Then Trevor comes to our side. Ask, who's from out the country? Lydia and myself look at each other and freeze. I become so nervous. I don't know where this comes from because I'm not that person, you know. I usually am the first to stand up, but I was freaking out for some reason. But then with my adrenaline pumping, I stand and blurt out, hey, Trevor, I'm from Joburg. We met once, but you wouldn't remember me, and I wouldn't expect you to. Then I sit down, and this weird feeling comes over me, like, what have I done? Trevor then says, move to the right a bit so I can see you. The lights are in my eyes. I can't really see you well. Oh, hey, Timothy, I remember you. I literally almost faint. Third surprise. Lydia grabs my hand. The Jewish lady hugs me, and we all have like a threesome moment for a second. The entire audience gasps and delights at Trevor's memory. I yell out, dude, wow, that's impressive. Meanwhile, I'm in total shock, surprised and blown away. The floor manager signals to him that Chloe and Hallie are ready now. They perform. We are all in tears. Their voices are literally angelic. The show ends. Trevor comes back out, waves, and thanks everyone. Tells the guy from Malta, thanks for coming. The British family he teased, thank them as well. Then he looks up in my direction and goes, Timothy, good to see you again. I'm shocked. We walk out. The whole thing was happening in slow motion. Lydia and Rena stood next to me. We walk out and back onto those cold New York streets. I'll never forget my experience at The Daily Show, precisely because of the several elements of surprise. And the next time you develop any campaign, remember this inexpensive way to add delight to your consumer or stakeholder. They'll be loyal forever. Remember, surprise me by subscribing to this podcast and rate us, please, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps others find us. Email me. I would love your feedback. TimothyMaurice@gmail.com. We'll be back next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.